We are going to start a series on how to break the curse. Now, that's something that I believe God wants us to live and to be able to walk in freedom. And sometimes I think in life that we kind of find out that no matter what we seem to do or what we seem to try, that we just can't shake the devil out of a certain area of our life. And I believe there's more to it than we are probably wanting to admit. Now, if that's happened in your life, you're not alone, because I believe that many people feel the same way. You know, the scripture says that God has set before us life and death, the blessing and the curse. So what I have witnessed is that too many people kind of settle for less and live under the curse instead of pressing into the blessing that God has for them. We need to understand how it is that we can be released from the curse so that we can be able to receive the blessing. And that's where I want to get us to. Because many times I feel in Christianity that a lot of times we think everything's automatic. And it's really not. What I find out that it's really a process. And it's a process that you and I need to learn about and walk through and work through so that we can get the desired result that we want. Now, the scripture we're going to use as a launching pad for today is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul's speaking here, or writing here, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We bind up the devil in any way, shape, or form that he tries to come into our lives to steal, kill, or destroy, to try to rob the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. Right now, Lord, we just want to exalt you with our lives, and I yield to the gift you put inside of me, and I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So, the blessing and the curse. You know, whether we want to admit it or not, those are things that are operating in our world today. Because as sure as there's a God that's real, there is also a devil. And the devil is trying to influence us just like God's trying to influence us. Now, the first point I want to see is the fact that we need to understand that we've been redeemed. Now, redeemed is one of those Christian words that we use sometimes. And the scripture here in this passage talks about that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. And we're going to break that down just a little bit. Now, the curse of the law is the idea that the law came so that it could show us some things. Now, that word redeemed is the word exergrazo, which means to buy out. So Jesus came and bought us out, shall we say, from the law. Because what the law was sent for, it had a purpose, and the law is good, the scripture says, but it was really a revealer. It was something that was given by God to reveal something to us. Now, what it revealed is the fact that we fall short. We fall short, as we all know, short of being able to walk in God's, you know, perfect standing, shall we say, because the law came to show us, you know, what sin's all about. And it taught us, really, what not to do. But in teaching us on what not to do, it also could not give us the power that we needed to be able to do it. So the law fell short. So God had a better plan. Now what I look at the law like is I enjoy a good commercial every now and then. And, you know, I like the one from LifeLock about the security guard. You know, they're in there and all of a sudden, you know, some bank robbers come in and they start breaking things. They're going to rob the place, and people's laying down on their belly, and there's a security guard standing there. And they look at him like, aren't you going to do something? He says, I'm not a security guard. I'm a security monitor. there's a robbery, and that's it. You know, and they're trying to sell LifeLock to be able to protect your, you know, computers and different things. But see, that's what the law did. See, the law came to tell us something, but it didn't have the power for us to be able to overcome something. And see, God had a plan, and that's what it's going to get into here. What we need to get is the fact that as we know that it just came to reveal, then it shows us what it is we're going to go for. Now, full disclaimer, there's a certain group of Christians that don't believe that Christians can have a curse. And I suppose in some ways that could be a truth, but that, does that same group of Christians also believe that Christians can never sin? I mean, if that's the case, if Jesus Christ paid for our sins and set us free from the power of sin, but yet we still sin, so is there a possibility that also if there's certain things operating in our life that Satan has the ability to try to bring curses in our life? And we're going to break this down in the following weeks a little bit more about what it is that God wants us to be set free from and how we can get there. Now, it's the legal versus the vital side of our relationship with God, or positional versus temporal. I've went over this a time or two before, but I just wanted to go over it again. There's a legal side to our redemption. Jesus bought us lock, stock, and barrel. Then when we put our faith in Him, then we can be able to start to operate in the things that He wants us to do. But nevertheless, inside of us, we have another nature, the sin nature. Now, when you got saved, you are perfect in God's eyes because He looks at us through Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, how many would admit you're not perfect today? I think we all would. You know, we make mistakes. That's a watered-down version of sin, right? A mistake. You know, we do things that we shouldn't do. We say things that we shouldn't say. We hurt people that we shouldn't hurt. So we have those things going on in our life. Even though God looks at us through Christ and says, you're perfect, but we're not perfect. So that shows us that, you know, legally we are a certain way, but yet in realistic, there's still a process. And see, we're looking at a process. See, a lot of people don't like processes. They like to just say amen, and then they say, there it is. You know what I mean? I think we all like that, right? You pray for something. You say, Lord, give me this. Amen. Boom, there it is. Whoa, that's awesome. But it doesn't work like that all the time. Especially in our working out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. So there's things that you and I can do, and what I want to ask us today is, how much of what Christ did for us are we walking in right now? I think that's a fair question. How much? I mean, the Bible says legally, what everything Jesus has done for us when He went to the cross, well, how much of that are we actually owning right now? Are we actually possessing? Are we actually being able to function in? And if we're not functioning in the things that He says we're supposed to, there's a few things that we can do. And I think it comes back to patterns of behavior. You know, as you look at yourself, are we walking in blessing or are we walking under some form of curse? And I think we can step back for a little bit and take a profile. Just kind of sum things up. You might even make a list. You know, the blessing side and the curse side. Now, cursing is not talking about bad language, right? Although that is bad. The curse is just talking about the idea of certain things in our life that seem to be holding us back and keeping us in some sort of bondage or chains. And we want to get those chains broken. So if there's some areas in our life, and you're a Bible-believing, you know, Christian, and you read the Word, and you pray, and you ask God, and you talk to God all the time, but yet it just seems like there's a certain area over here that for whatever reason, I just can't get the victory. No matter what I do, it just seems like the devil is holding me back. Well, that doesn't line up, does it? It doesn't line up. So there must be something else going on here. And that's what we got to figure out. We have to figure out what it is and how that's happening in our life so that we can be able to break free and be able to enter into everything that God has for us. And those are patterns, and we're going to go into that a little bit deeper next week. I just want to kind of share a few things this week, kind of setting this up. So, we need to explore these ideas of an open door that the devil's coming through. Like I've always said, you know, when I was raised as a kid, we never locked our doors. Out in the country, we just left them all unlocked all the time. And, you know, then when I moved to Denver, you know, it just seemed like more of a habit. You just lock your doors, whatever the case may be. And then when we move back here, we lock our doors at night. Now, the thing is, you can, how many forgot to lock your door some night? You probably have. Or maybe your car doors. I made the mistake last week, and we come out to do something, then I ended up walking home from the church, and I went for a brisk walk, and I came in the front door instead of the back door. Well, I'd left my truck out with the windows open. It rained that night. Bummer. Now, I've left my windows open on my truck before. Nothing's ever happened. But it rained that night. So my seat was soaked. And see, we've left our house doors or our car doors unlocked, and nothing's happened. But there's always that chance when we do something like that, you leave an opening for something to happen. And see, it's like that spiritually. When we have spiritual things going on in our life, things that we've done, and I just remember when I first got saved, and I'm going to go into this more next week, that there were certain areas of my life, you know, that I had opened up to the devil by doing certain things. And I do know that when I started to break free of that, Satan didn't want to let go of me. He wanted to hold me back in those areas and didn't want me to be free. And he did whatever he could to try to come into my life. And I'm going to go into this a little more next week. But, you know, when I was a kid, well, I wasn't a kid. I was 18. I was a man, right? Well, I thought I was. I was really stupid. But anyway, a friend of mine wanted to do transcendental meditation. So we went down the Fairfield, and we wanted to float and do all that fun stuff. You know, it sounded, that's the only reason we wanted to do it. We wanted to do stuff, man. We wanted to float, and I think somebody said you could walk through walls and all that. And as an 18-year-old boy, that just sounded kind of fun, you know. So we went down there, but little did I know. When they give you some of that information, the mantras and all that, you're kind of crying out to other gods. And it opened the door big time in my life. And I learned from that. And I found out later, and I'll go into that next week, about how the enemy really tried to hold me back in certain areas. Now, the next point I want to see is the idea of cursed. What does that mean, especially in the Bible? Now, the Bible says there, the scripture we read, that Jesus became a curse for us. Now, an Old Testament principle, it said that anything that was hung on a tree was cursed. It had to bear the brunt of that curse. And that's what they did to get rid of the curse. If somebody had done something wrong or some ruler or whatever, an enemy or whatever, they would hang them on a tree and, you know, and that kind of dealt with some of the problems there. Now, what I want us to realize, and I think we know that, is that Jesus Christ did more than buy us out. Remember, he redeemed us. But what's hard for us to stomach is the fact that Jesus also became a curse for us. Now, becoming a curse, you know, he took all the sin, he took all the sickness and disease, all these things upon himself when he went to that cross. So he became that for us because he had to do that so that we could be set free. Now, sin opens the door for the curse to come upon our life. Now, Jesus Christ himself, as we know, was innocent. Now, I don't know about you, but can you explain what innocence is like? It's kind of hard in our culture today. Now, some of you are probably thinking that the closest thing you and I can get to innocence is a baby, right? Oh, aren't they cute? Just beautiful. Oh, man. You just look at them and, oh, take their bottle away. Are they still innocent? I think not. That's when the sin nature comes out, right? So we really don't know what innocence is like. But see, that's what Jesus was. He knew no sin, but he came sin. He became the curse for us and hung on that tree. And when he did that, he carried that for us because, you know, we didn't really have the ability to carry it, even though we deserved to carry it. And then when that happened, you know, he was able to set us free. Now, the reason why that is that we forget about the idea of divine judgment. Now, when you break a law, you got to pay the price, right? Always like Beretta. Some of you guys don't probably remember him. Most of you don't. He used to be a tough cop and probably out in New York or something. And his saying was, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. You know, I don't know if he's on Netflix or not, but anyway, he was kind of a tough cop. And it's like that. Sin has to be paid for. God is perfect. God is holy. God cannot live with sin. So that's why he devised that plan that Jesus Christ came, to be able to take that curse upon himself. But because he was innocent, the curse could not stick to him, shall we say. And God rose him from the dead. And then in doing that, bends God's divine justice, the judge. God is the judge. The judge had to be paid. Jesus Christ paid that judge to break the curse over our life. And all we have to do is be able to walk in that blessing that God has for us. Now, the curse of sin has lost its power. But yet we know that we still stumble, don't we? See, the only power that sin has in our life is when you and I give it permission. Because legally, it's been paid for. Did you know we can give sin permission in our life? Well, how do you do that? Number one, by our actions. When we choose to let our bodies, our old nature, rule and reign, and we do things that are not glorifying to God, well, that gives sin permission to work in our life. And another way is with our mouth. Did you know that our mouth can get us in trouble with God? Do you know how a curse is sent? A lot of times, curses are sent with the mouth. In witchcraft, and in all these other things, if somebody's going to put a curse on somebody, they don't think it, they say it. So our mouth, our tongue, it has a lot of power. And so that's why we need to be able to monitor that and be able to overcome it so that we can do it. And how we do that is we need to get to the blessing side. And that's what I want us to leave with today. I don't want to leave it with just the negative side of things. Now this here's talking about in Galatians about a person, and that person is the father of faith, and his name is Abraham. And what it says here again, it says, in order that that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. And see, that's what you and I want to get to, is the blessing of Abraham. What was Abraham blessed with? How did that work? Well, the scripture goes and talks, and this is found in Genesis chapter 12, if you want to look it up for yourself, verse 1 and so on, down a little ways. First it talks about the blessing, and it might come to the Gentiles who are in Christ. Now, that's the disclaimer. That's the thing that we have to be able to see, is the fact that we need to be in Christ. Now, when you become born again, you are placed in Christ. And so that's what makes you a Christian. Now, what I really believe that will help us to overcome and to walk in this blessing is that we need to see ourselves in Christ. See, I know that a lot of people come up, they get saved, or, you know, in all outward appearances, God knows the heart, we don't, right? So they come up and they give their life to Christ, they go back, they sit down, and then they stay in the same mindset, the same way of looking at life as they did before they got up and they asked Jesus Christ into their heart. See, there has to be a process of change. See, that's the process. When you look at yourself in a different way. And see, that's the glory of the gospel. When we can look at the Word and be able to see what the Word says about us, what the Word of God tells us, that now that we're in Christ, what it is that God has for us. And see, that's how you start to get grounds like a lawyer to be able to state your case against the devil. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Well, who are the brethren? The church. So Satan is going to try to accuse you and to try to work on your mind to make you think that you're a loser, that you fall short, that you're a terrible Christian, you're a terrible mother, you're a terrible husband, you're a terrible parent. He's going to try to get all these things into your mind. And that's how he works, because if you believe the lie, then you think the lie is the truth, right? So we need to change truths. Well, we do that by starting to see things in a different way. So Abraham, now the promise to him came 430 years before the law. So Abraham was a man of God. You guys probably know the story. God was looking for somebody that would just pay attention. Amen. I think he's still doing that sometimes. Amen. Looking for something. Just pay attention. You know. I'll take care of the rest. Just pay attention a little bit. Well, anyway, he'd pay attention, and he started to follow God, and he started to walk in obedience, and he followed God, and then finally it came to the place after God finally blessed him with the child that he had promised, that God said, hey, I want you to grab some wood, and I want you to go up, and I want you to offer up your son as a sacrifice to me. Now, you got to understand, this guy had been waiting for a kid for a long time. You know, he was up in his 90s, close to, maybe pushing 100. So there was no replacement child in view, if you know what I'm saying. Oh, yeah, and his wife was only 10 years younger than him, so she was up there too. Well, he went up there, tied the kid down, put the wood under him, ready to kill him and offer him, burn him up as a sacrifice. And God stopped him. Gave a ram instead. Well, then that opened the whole door for the blessing of obedience. And see, that's what breaks the curse in our life, is obedience. When we choose to not believe the lie and start to walk in the truth. And Abraham was promised several things here we're going to look at. There were seven blessings that Abraham was promised. And it says that, you know, we can have these things because we're in Christ. And I want to ask is, are we walking in these blessings today? Number one, it says, to the land which I will show you, means that Abraham was supposed to follow God wherever God told him to go. So that meant that God promised direction for his life. So that's one of the blessings of Abraham that you and I have. The potential to tap into is the fact that God's going to direct us. He's going to show us the way that we need to go. And that's the first one. Are we walking in that? Number two, he's going to make us a great nation, meaning all born-again people are part of a great family, and now we ought to be able to recognize that. I hope you feel like you're in the family of God. You know, some people don't feel like they fit in. And see, that's the lie of the devil. When he tries to make you feel that you're not good enough. Now, I remember when I first got saved, I was a little uncomfortable going to church, a little uncomfortable being around Christians. I was always afraid I was going to say something wrong or do something wrong. And once I got past that, it became a lot easier to be able to tap in and to be able to function and flow as a believer in what he was calling me to do. Once I could understand that I'm just as much a part of this family as anybody else. And I hope you see that in your life. That you're a part of the family of God. And don't let nobody lie to you. Thirdly, it says, I will bless you. The word bless means make happy or successful or fortunate. You know, do you feel like you're blessed today? Now, I'm not talking about that Christian fake smile. You know, the one that we all can do. Oh, how's it going? I'm blessed. Then when they leave, all pouty-wouty. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Right? We know how to turn it on and how to turn it off, right? But see, God wants us to be able to understand that we need to know that we're blessed and we're walking in that blessing. Number four, it makes your name great. You know, to me, that's a good reputation. You know, there's certain names that get a stigma, don't they? I mean, be honest. If you say a certain name, you know, you kind of, oh, that family. But see, when you're blessed by God and operating in the covenant of God, and, you know, you need to understand that you have a good reputation. No matter what your natural family might have done, you're in a new family now. You're in the family of God. And your status has totally changed. Number five, it says, you'll be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Now, are we looking just to get blessed, or we want to be blessed so we can be a blessing? There's a difference, right? You know, a lot of times when we start out, we're like a little baby, like I was talking about. You know, babies want to be blessed. I mean, they may not want a lot yet. How many know when kids get older? A little higher maintenance. But when that baby wants it, they want a bottle. They want a clean diaper. You know, and they want to sleep when they want to sleep. You know, it's all about me. It's what I want. It's what I need. But see, as you become more mature, hopefully you see that why God blesses you is so that you in turn can take that blessing and be able to be a blessing to somebody else. See, that's when we've turned the corner in our walk with God. That's when we're starting to step out of the baby pool and get out into deeper water so that we can be able to make a difference, you know, in the lives of others, and then that makes a difference in this world. Next one is, I'll bless them that bless you. And I like that one because there's so much favor on us because of a relationship with God, that the law of sowing and reaping is in effect, that if somebody comes up and does something nice for us, they're just going to be blessed. Well, if they find that out, they're going to want to do that more and more and more. Because we're walking in that blessing. And lastly, it says, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now that's talking about Jesus and his lineage. You know, the promise that was made to Abraham years before Jesus even came on the scene, that through him, that all the world's going to be blessed. And I really believe that as Christians, you know, we're a blessing when we start to share Christ with others. That's the way that we tap into some of this flow, that we're called to be evangelists and we're supposed to tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Now, what that does is when we start to walk in this blessing, it gave us a promise here, and it talks about the promise of the Spirit. Now, this is something that I think we take for granted, but it's something that I believe we have to acknowledge and that we need to be able to, through the process of change, get to know the Holy Spirit in a better way. Because what happens through that covenant is that the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, one thing that sets Christianity apart from all other religions and all the other things going on in this world is the fact that God promised the Holy Spirit will come and live inside of us. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, they fell out of the presence of God and out of that close relationship. Now, only through Christ, when we're born again, does the Holy Spirit come to live inside of us. Now, what that does is a lot of things. Number one, the Spirit will give us a witness that we're a child of God. And if you feel you're a part of things, it's going to help us so that we don't fall away. But also what it's going to do is that now, for the first time, is we have power to be able to overcome. To overcome the enemy. Now, I don't know if you ever see yourself like that. And, you know, some people can maybe take it to extreme. I know we're not perfect. But I do believe that we need to change the way we look at this and start to see ourselves as an overcomer. Now, if somebody told you that I want you to give like a one or two sentence description of who you are as a Christian, what would you write? What would you write? If you had to write one or two sentences about who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ, would you start out saying, I'm an old sinner saved by grace? Or would you say, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony? Which one? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a warrior for Christ? Or do you see yourself as somebody just hoping and praying that you are faithful to the end so you don't have to go to hell. Huh? How do we see ourselves? Do we see ourselves through the blessing side, or are we looking at ourselves through the curse side? Is it about where we've come from, or is it about where we're going to? And there's a difference. If we want to be successful as a believer, then we need to start seeing things through the blessing side of our covenant with God, that we do not have to bow our knee again to the devil and all his lies. That God has given us a power that is far greater than any power when he sent his Son to die for us, and then he gave us the Spirit to live inside of us. But see, the problem is we don't go through the process. We don't get to know the Holy Spirit. We just kind of go through the motions. And the last thing I hate to see is that fact is that we settle. It's easy to settle, isn't it? To me, settling is you're in a bad relationship. You don't want to do nothing about it to change it. So you're just going to endure it and keep going. And see, that's what happens in our walk with God, is that we know that we're going to be able to make it to heaven. So I'm just going to wait it out. And when I, you know, in the end, I know I'm going to get there. But I want to tell us today is that we can live in victory. And whatever victory means to you, it might mean different to different people. But I want us to see that as we go through this series, that we can live in victory. And we do not have to give up. And we don't have to give in. You do not have to accept the way things have always been again. Maybe you're raised in a family, and maybe you're around the situation and circumstances that just drags you down. I want to tell us we can rise up over that because of the power that lives inside of us. And you can be an inspiration to the rest of the people that are around you. In closing, and furthermore, right? We can see that there's no reason to live under the curse when Christ made us the opportunity to walk in that blessing. So step by step, we're going to go through that process. And what we're going to do is we're going to be able to distinguish and understand the tactics that the enemy tries to come in and use in our life to be able to hold us back. Like the old saying, I think I've heard different people say it. Maybe Jason said it somewhere. I don't know where I've heard it, but you don't know till you know, right? You don't know till you know. And when we're used to living a certain way, that's all we think there is. But once we know something else, we know there's a different way. And that's what we're going to look at. Amen? Let's close.